This morning we're going to continue our study on the invitations in the Bible. I'd like you to take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. We've gone to come into the ark. Come with us. Come and be cleansed. Come and be satisfied. Come, let us return to the Lord. Then come and find rest. Then last week there was a challenging invitation, a call to discipleship. See, follow me means a lot more than just coming to church on Sunday morning. It means reading your Bible. It means to be a disciplined one. It means to be his disciple. It means to follow Christ with all of your heart and love him. So today, the title of my message is Come and See. Come and See. There's actually two instances in this chapter about coming and seeing Christ. But we're going to look at the first one. And we're going to be looking at John chapter 1, verses 35 through 42. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for an opportunity, Lord, that we can come and see you. Lord, we thank you for the freedom, Lord, that we can worship you. Lord, I pray that we would see you clearly. I pray that your word would speak clearly. Lord, I pray that we would see our need clearly and that we would make decisions clearly, Lord, for you, and that we would be changed. Let your truth ring out this morning, bind Satan on our behalf. Have your Holy Spirit have his way today in our lives. We thank you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. In John chapter 1, verses 35 through 42, it says, again, the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, what seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. See, this is actually the third day of the account in John chapter 1 of John the Baptist. And John makes this revealing statement in verse 36. He says, behold, the Lamb of God. But before this, on the first day of this three-day event, the scribes and the Pharisees and the religious leaders come as John was preaching this message, repent ye, for the kingdom of God is at hand. We need to understand that Jesus comes so we can have true repentance and true forgiveness of sins. And Jesus is coming back, and we need to be prepared. So the first day, he says, he's coming. The second day, he says, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. And it's on that day that John baptizes Jesus. And then it says, on the next day, after John does this, he says, behold, the Lamb of God. And Andrew and the other disciple is the one that remains mentionless in this gospel, but it's the one that wrote it, was John. And so they leave following John the Baptist and start following Jesus. Folks, when we find something better to follow, we need to follow it. When God's standing in front of us and He's revealed to us, we need to follow Him and not man. And so this is where John the Baptist starts fading into the background. He himself says he must increase and I must decrease. So we have John's revealing statement. Behold the Lamb of God. When you see Jesus, who do you see? Do you see a prophet? Do you see a good man? You know, Christ asked his disciples, who do people say that I am? And everybody, except for Peter, said something that was kind of true, but it wasn't the best answer. Behold the Lamb of God means he's the Messiah. Behold the man of God means he's going to be the perfect sacrifice on the cross. Behold the man of God, the Lamb of God means that he's going to change the world. He's going to change us. And so we have John's revealing statement here in verse 36. And then we have two curious disciples. The word for follow here doesn't mean that they were following Jesus in a sense of being his disciple. It means that they were just going his way. Because you know what? When we find out about God, we should want to know more about him. And so this is an issue of being curious. This is an issue of seeing for yourself what John's statement really means. And so as they're following Jesus, Jesus turns around and he says, what are you looking for? This morning as you're here in church, you're listening on the internet, what are you looking for? I hope you're looking for God. I hope you're looking for a relationship with Christ. I hope you're looking for Christ to intervene in your situations here. And so when Christ turns around and he gives him this statement, what are you looking for? They call him Rabbi, which means master, or better yet, teacher. You know, the issue is here is that we need to have God teach us. We need to start following him and want to learn more about him. But how can you learn without being what? Taught. How can faith grow unless you hear the word of God? And we know in John chapter 1, it says, the word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. They wanted to know, but see, here's the point. They call him teacher, but at first their question was, hey, where are you hanging out today? Where are you staying? Where dwellest thou? It's not where you're living. It's where are you going to be tonight? Folks, we need to understand that following God is a day-by-day thing. Just like his word is a lamp to take the next step, we need to look for God every day. Where is Christ today in your life? Is he here? Or is he put off on the shelf someplace? So we have these two curious disciples. And folks, the Holy Spirit comes into our life when we get saved. And it should cause a curiosity so that we will learn more about Jesus. We sing this, the song, more about Jesus, would I what? No. Paul goes through his letters and he just keeps on saying, I want to understand more. I want to know more. Oh, folks, that's the prayer for you this morning. Blessed are those which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And so, when Christ sees them following, and they ask the question, God gives the invitation. He says, okay, come and see. There's two parts of this. The first part is, you have to go there. And we talked about in Hosea that the word for come actually means it's to come and then do something with it. Well, this morning, Christ is calling us to come to him and to see. Come to him and to see. And it's an invitation for all of us. In verse 38 and 39, the first thing that we need to understand when we come and see is we need to come and see and trust Him this day. We need to trust Him today. Why? Because there's no better day than today. Amen? This is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. See, John the Baptist's statement had pointed the way. They now know that Jesus was the prophesied one. Because when the religious leaders came to John and he's out there saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand," they asked this question: "Are you that guy? Are you the Messiah?" And he said, "Nope, I'm not it, but I am one that is proclaiming in the wilderness, 'Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make your way straight.'" And so he sees, and then John the Baptist sees Christ and says, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And folks, the issue is it's one thing to understand Jesus is the Son of God, but it's another thing to understand what He's here to do. "Behold the Lamb of God that" what? "Taketh away the sins of the world." This is why they follow Him. They do not follow because they know, but they know something and it causes them to follow. There's a lot of people today that say they know God, but they don't follow Him. That's the simplest thing that we need to do, is to follow Him. They want to know more about Him. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says, "But without faith, it is impossible to" what? "Please Him. For he that" what? "Cometh to God must believe that He is." Must believe He's the Lamb of God. Must believe He's the Messiah. Must believe He's God incarnate. Must believe He's the living Word. He must believe and come to Him. And that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Right. Folks, when we come to somebody, we expect something in return, right? Come to Jesus today and find Him as your Savior. Come to Jesus today and find something beyond your wildest dreams. See, John the Baptist's statement had pointed the way. We need to know more about Him. God always has key people to point others to Christ. When we were going through the book of Revelation, before all these things are going on in the world, and we see that the gospel is still being preached. It's being preached by 144,000. It's being preached by the two witnesses. It's being preached by an angel that has the everlasting gospel flying all across the world. God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. He wants all to come to repentance. I'll give you two examples. There's a guy coming back from Jerusalem from the Passover. And he's out in the desert. There's nobody around. And he's reading God's Word. And we know the story out of Acts chapter 8. It's the Ethiopian eunuch. And he was a great man. He was a treasurer of Candace. And folks, status means nothing with God. Everybody needs to come and worship Him. And so as he's reading God's Word, he doesn't understand. He wants to know more about Him. He wants to understand what this prophecy is about. People came out to John the Baptist and said, "What are you talking? Who are you talking about? What is this need here?" And so, out of nowhere comes Philip. Philip's led by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God tells Philip, "Go over and talk to this dude." Who dude? The only one that's out here. You're in the desert. He's in the desert. It has to be you. You know, sometimes we have God telling us to tell somebody something. You know, who? Who? Yeah, just do what God wants you to do. It's simple. It's simple. And we know the story. We know the story, how he's reading Isaiah and he doesn't understand. Comes and gets in the chariot and explains to him. And then he believes in Christ and he gets baptized. God always brings people in your path. If nothing else, we got the Word of God here. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the what? Word of God. And it says, how can they hear without a what? Preacher. Acts chapter 10. Peter. Cornelius has this desire to know about more about God. He has so much desire to know about God, he actually makes a synagogue for the Jews. And he does these things for them. And he's a devout man. He's searching. And so God uses Peter, hard-headed Peter, has to show him a vision, has to say this, and then Peter still, you know the story. When Peter finally goes to Cornelius' house, he says, I can't be here. But God told me to be here, so I am here. You know, okay. Obedience is better grouching-wise than not doing it. And so, what does Peter learn? Peter learns a lesson, too. He says, God's no respecter of persons. Cornelius understands who Jesus is. Cornelius gets saved. His household gets saved. There's revival breaks out. Peter understands that now God doesn't just die for the Jews, he dies for the Gentiles too. Amen. That's an important lesson for him. And see, but God always has key people to point others to Christ. I don't know of anyone who is truly searching for God that doesn't find him. Right. We need to be his instruments to do that. So John the Baptist's statement points the way. And then God always has someone to come and point the way. Come and see Jesus. Trust him to save you. See, you cannot see more about God unless you see the primary purpose of Christ, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Question: who was responsible for getting you to church today? Well, I got in the car, but how did you start coming to church? How did you come to a knowledge of God unless someone told you? See, we're all the beneficiaries of someone heeding the Great Commission. Someone who has seen Jesus and wants to learn more. Come and see Jesus and trust him today to save you. Like the psalmist, you'll find in him, that's all you need. And Psalm 34 verse 8 says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is what? Good. Come with him by faith. You got to believe that he is. And he's going to reward you with goodness. Blessed is the what? Man that... read the rest of the verse. Everybody. Trusteth in him. So come and see. And trust him today. Come and see, and you'll want to stay. It says they came and abode with him that day. Now it says here in the passage, it says, John's writing this down. He says it was about the 10th hour, about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. This is not Jesus' house. This is where he was staying today. Folks, where Jesus is today, that's where we need to be. Where he goes tomorrow, that's where we need to be. Where he tells us to go next week, that's where we need to be. Come and see, and you'll want to stay. When they saw Jesus, and they heard what John said, it motivated them to want to stay with Jesus. How can we hear God's truth, see how God works, and not want to stay with him? You know, every day with Jesus is what? Sweeter than the day before. See, there's three things about God that should make us want to stay. First of all, his presence in our lives. His presence where we are should want us to stay. Go back to the Old Testament. And there is Moses, and then there is Joshua. And Joshua, when Moses goes up the mountain, Joshua stays at the foot of the mountain. He just stays there. And he sees all this stuff, and then all of a sudden, what happens to the camp? There's sin in the camp. So much that God removes his presence from outside of the camp and puts it on the outside because there's sin in the camp. And in Exodus chapter 33, verse 11, it says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh to his friend. And he turned again to the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed" what? Not out of the tabernacle. Moses went back into the camp, but Joshua says, "No, I want to stay here. I've seen all I need to see in order for me to be motivated to stay here." Folks, there's a presence of God in your life. The presence of God around you want to make you stay in that presence. See, that's the whole key here. The presence of God should want us to stay. When John said, "Here he is," they left John. They left who they were following. Left who they were trusting in. Until they saw who John was talking about, and they changed that trust, and they went to God, and they started following him because they saw the presence of God. Oh, secondly, the glory of God should want us to stay. You know, Peter, James, and John were on the Mount of Transfiguration. The other disciples were down at the foot of the mountain dealing with some other things. But God takes these three up and he's transformed in front of them. And in Matthew 17 verses 1 through 5, it talks about this account, this event. And in Matthew 17 verse 4, it says, "Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is" what? "Good for us to be here." Who is Jesus to you? Is he just a name? Or is he your Savior? Do you see his presence so much that you want to stay? Have you seen his glory that you want to say, "It's good for us to be here"? And it says, "If thou will, let us make these three tabernacles, one for thee and one for Moses and one for Elias." They didn't understand. But see, you'll never learn unless you ask questions. You'll never learn unless you're in the presence of God. And then God the Father speaks and says, "This is my beloved Son, hear ye him." We can't hear him unless we know him. We can't hear him unless we're in his presence, walking with him, following him, saying, "Where are you dwelling?" We can't hear him unless we're listening. And the glory of God, just looking around, And see how God works in situations. Should want us to stay in His presence. His presence by Himself should make us want to stay. You know, if we start doing that, you wonder why we wasted time in the world. Thirdly, the worth of God should want us to stay. Paul says, I am an apostle born out of time. He wasn't called directly by God, Christ in the flesh. In fact, he was a persecutor. God can change you. And God can change you. But the issue is, we need to understand that we need to count everything as loss for us to be with Christ. Amen. What do we need to give up in our lives in order to see Him clearly? What do we need to give up in our time so we can be in His presence? What do we need to know in our heart so we can see the glory of God revealed? In Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 and 8, he says, but what things were what? Gain to me, these I counted lost for Christ. That's the challenge of discipleship. Now we're going to talk about following, as in following God as your master. Not just figuring out where He is, but basically say, He's worth it to me. Come and see. Trust Him today. Come and see, and you'll find out that you want to stay. You want to stay. He says, yea, doubtless. And I count all things but loss for the excellency of the what? Knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things. See, whatever you give up for God, you're going to get back 100-fold. Christ Himself said that. Because Peter said, Lord, we've given everything up. What about us? What about us? Isn't heaven enough? Isn't salvation enough? Isn't seeing the presence of God enough? Isn't knowing Him as your master enough? The loss of all, and do count them but dung that I might what? Win Christ. Oh, folks, today, come and see and trust Him today. Come and see and you'll want Him to stay. We need to win Christ. But you can't win Christ unless you're in His presence. You can't win Christ unless you see His glory and understand who He is. You can't win Christ unless you give up the stuff that's holding you back and surrender all to Him. Come and see. And you want to show others the way. You know, I have found out that if you know something a secret, what do you want to do? If someone comes up and tells you, says, don't tell anybody about this. What is your inclination? I'm going to go tell someone. I have this knowledge. I want to pass it on to somebody else. If you're in the government, you go to jail for doing that. But the issue is that we get these secrets, and we want to tell these secrets. We want to tell these secrets. But here's the other thing about come and see. Come and see and you'll show others the way. Come and see, you'll show others the way. See, here's the point. John the Baptist is out there preaching. John and Andrew are there. They hear him say, "Behold the Lamb of God." It causes John and Andrew to turn and change direction and start following Jesus. Once they find out where Jesus was staying, they liked it so much that they went and told others about Andrew. Andrew couldn't keep this good news to himself. But you know something? I find it interesting that we can't keep secrets, but we can't share the gospel. Think about that. We can't keep a secret because we just want to tell somebody this. But boy, talk about sharing the gospel. Oh, no. I don't know what people will think about me. See, Andrew could keep this good news to himself. It says here in verse 4, it says, "One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. And he first findeth his own brother Simon and saith to him, We have found the Messiah. And he brought him to Jesus." See, we need to understand what Jesus says about this. Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 says, "Whoso therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess be also before my Father which is in heaven." The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, it says, For who that calls on the name of the Lord shall not be what? Ashamed. Won't be ashamed in what you're trusting, and you won't be ashamed to share it. Andrew first found and told his brother. The first two invitations that we talked about dealt with family. Noah and his family in the ark. Moses and the nation of Israel trying to convince his dad to come with them. Folks, it's all about family. We're part of the family of God. We need more people in the family. We need more people in the family. So he says, Andrew can't hold this in. He says he goes and he first finds just, he goes and he finds Simon Peter. 1 Corinthians 9:16 says this. He says, "For though I preach the gospel," this is Paul speaking. He says, "I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is me if I what? Preach not the gospel." Folks, we get a secret told to us. We can't hold it in. We have the best news of all, and we hold it in. And we don't want anybody to know it. What does God tell the prophet? He says, "I've set you to be a watchman on the wall." Watchmen's one cry out in the night so everybody can hear. Folks, we need to have everybody hear that we have gone and we have seen him. And we need to have others to come and see too. We need to have others come and see too. News like this must be shared. Who brought you to Jesus? Think about that. Think about what impact it had on your life. It should have changed your life's direction. Set your feet upon a rock. No more slippery sliding slope down the cesspool of sin. Think about the impact of Andrew's actions. He brought Simon Peter to the Lord. Simon Peter, the one, his first convert, Andrew's first one he led to the Lord, who brought thousands to the Lord at Pentecost, who brought the gospel to the Gentiles. We think of Paul, but really it was Peter first, with Cornelius. Look at the impact that just us sharing the good news with someone else can have on the future of other people's lives. We need to get a grasp of that. We need to get a grasp of that. We need to be an Andrew and tell others about him. Well, this morning, two questions. The first one is, Christ is asking you today to come and see. You need to accept His invitation for salvation. If you don't know Him as your Savior, today is the day that you can say, okay, I understand who you are. I understand you died on the cross for my sins. I understand you were buried for 3 days. You rose again to show that you have power over death, which is the penalty of sin, and power to forgive sins. And Jesus Christ, I want you to forgive my sins, and I accept you as my Savior. That's accepting the invitation. Don't say, well, I believe in God because He believes. No, you need to believe in God because you believe. The second thing is we need to adopt Christ's invitation. We need to make come and see a part of our life. Later on in this chapter, there's another guy who gets saved.